Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fix Operations Training Director with EasyCare. Today, I'm being joined by my partner in crime, the person that I'm meant to be with, Eric Howdige. Eric, welcome to Forward.
I love that intro. That's awesome, Corey. I mean, not that my head's already that big enough, right? I mean, I love it. How you doing, Corey?
We have so much fun, and I miss doing classes with you. We've been so busy. Yes. Going in our separate directions, but it's good to have this time with you. We don't have a special guest other than Eric and myself. So, it's just going to be you and I talking shop, right? We've been out and about for the last 3 or 4 months, right? This year has been crazy already.
It's a good problem to have. I tell people all the time, it is awesome the amount of forward thinking service departments are doing across the nation, investing in training and education into their people to make sure they're up to the latest and greatest. And you know what? It's a great feeling to have people calling you. I mean, what are we being called? Daily basis? Multiple times a day?
Multiple times.
Hey, can we get in? Hey, when's the next training available? So it's such a great feeling.
Yeah, it truly is. And it's our passion, right? The title that we're going to call this podcast is The Service Advisor Evolution. What 2026 will demand out of that service advisor? And Eric, if we really frame this conversation, service advisors are the most underdeveloped revenue lever in the dealership. We all agree with that, right? They don't get the training. I joke about it, but I'm serious. My first day on the job after I got hired was, there's your computer, there's your phone, there's your route sheet, those are your techs. And then it's like Homer Simpson going off into the bushes. That was my training. And everything I learned was by making a ton of mistakes, making customers mad, not having my estimate ready, or writing up the wrong car, all those things, right? Service advisors have the toughest job in the dealership by far. The auto industry is changing faster than advisors' training is evolving. And that's why I really want to talk about this topic and really dive into it, Eric. So let's just open it up. That's the basis of what we're going to talk about today. So let it rip.
I just had this conversation with the board of high level management across in a company. And this is what we were all talking about. Now I heard this term and I brought it to the conversation. Service advisors are the single most important position in the entire brand loyalty retention when it comes to point of contact, the amount of times that somebody has within the entire frame, from the point that somebody makes it to the point that somebody junks the car. The service advisor is the point of contact that has the most amount of touches with a customer, right? And how much training do service advisors get? How much education are they receiving? Now, let's take it a step even further. We're just talking history. We're talking, I hate to even say it out loud this way, but let's just go from now to year 2000. But thinking forward, what is the customer demanding? And it's not only of the automotive service industry. It's not only of the automotive experience of purchasing a vehicle. What is the customer in today's world demanding as just normal? And I'm going to tell you what, right now, I looked at myself. I looked at my wife as we've been, shopping over the last few days. And it's a different clientele. Everything is touch, phone, how many clicks, how fast can I get service, how fast can somebody come take care of me? And there's no hard feelings whether this company could come service me or not. It's just, if you can't service me fast enough, I'm just going to move on to the next one. So is our education system for our service advisors, let me rephrase that question, is our education system for the position that holds the most amount of contact with a customer properly trained?
Or do they get enough adequate support, right? Again, AI, EVs, tech shortage, warranty, advisors are caught in the middle of all these things. They take on more work in one day than your frontline salespeople do in a month. If your service advisor isn't evolving, guess what? Neither is your dealership.
I heard this three times in the last month. And I just, the way it's exploding inside of my mind. So I heard this, number one, I heard this from a general manager at an automotive dealership. The second person I heard it from is an educational leader in the marine industry. And the third person I heard this from has nothing to do with either service or sales industry as far as either automotive, RV, or power sports, none of it. What the new trend that's coming at a very fast pace is, instead of it being a sales experience or a service experience, is now being considered a customer life experience, which means that when somebody sells, let's just use automotive, when somebody sells a vehicle, it's the very first step of the customer cycle experience. The service advisor holding the entire relationship from step two until the time of next part of ownership. So our service advisors, let's just start from the point that somebody purchases a vehicle. Our service advisors receiving the support, the education that they're supposed to be receiving from the moment that somebody purchases a car to know how to service the customer for the rest of its life.
Okay, so that's strong, Eric. And I wrote down some notes because the last couple of months we've been in and out of a dealership. I feel like I've been living on the road in a hotel, eating great meals, but meeting some great people that are asking questions. I mean, the current state of service advisors, which is what this podcast is about, let's break it down. Advisors are overloaded, right? What is the corporate...
Three more minutes. Here's another process. Another three more minutes. Another process, right? Oh, it's only going to take a few more seconds. And those seconds and those minutes pile up, Corey.
Mm-hmm. So what is the corporate mandates, right? What is the warranty process? EV completion, right? And how complicated it is. Customers are more educated than ever before. I mean, a lot of them, and I witnessed it, use ChatGPT to say, do I really need to do this service? They're using it as Google.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So the advisor is expected to, let's break it down, sell, manage technician productivity, protect CSI, which is near impossible.
Yes.
Manage time, handle objections, and be a therapist and a bartender all rolled up in the one.
Oh, from a mindset of an advisor, coming up in my first 3 to 5 years, to the audience listening, I want you to hear this thought that what I was going through. It's not so much what I know now. It's what I was going through. I just the way you're doing now. I had a mentor who had me literally write a journal down, and I would write down my thoughts. So those thoughts really burned into my memory. Now, later on with time, I learned from somebody else that I should get rid of and dispose some of those journals so I don't continue to go back to them. So every so often, I just dispose of the journals. But here is, from a service advisor, let's just go year one to year five. Corey, I was confused. I did not know if being a great advisor for the store meant go sell, because I thought I had the skill set to go sell, or if it was to wow customers and make them love our brand, which was at the front of the store. I didn't know which one it was. There was, at the time, there wasn't a large amount of education, but I truly did not know. I'm like, wait a minute. One day I'm being yelled at for this, whatever this HPRO means, because I didn't even know how to calculate it, and I didn't even know what it meant. I'm being yelled at for this ELR square that's in the red. But then once I go and I attack that, now I'm being yelled at for CSI because the wide range of things, right? As an advisor, you're kind of throwing your hands up in the air and you're saying, what do I do?
I'm not any good at this job is what they're basically saying, right? So my key question for you, Eric, and take a second to think about this. Advisors today are trained like sales professionals, or are they treated like order takers?
I think it's a leadership per facility, what their goal is. So there are some facilities that are about taking care of the customer because they look at the long game. And the long game being that customer is going to continue to come back. And the more customers they retain, essentially, the more profit there is, the more growth there is. There are facilities that are a per month basis that only think in a 30-day cycle. There's nothing wrong with that. Just know that the long-term game is going to have a lot of turnover in employees, a lot of turnover in customers, and there's a small chance that there's going to be some instability within your store. Again, nothing wrong, just some of the pros and cons. So I think it starts overall with what the company goal is. Is it to churn profits at a very fast rate, or is it to churn profits at a long game rate? It all depends what the culture in that store is. I have now seen a strong push from leadership where now they are converting into long-term stability, into long-term retention. They are now starting to invest more into education, not only into sales, but into the behavior, the human psychology of how customers think, to be able to help the advisor be able to take care of that experience.
Yeah, and I think if we really break down this question, right, are advisors today trained like sales professionals? At some dealerships, absolutely. There are some dealerships that are doing and groups that are doing it very, very well at a high level. There are some that are not giving the support to the service advisor, and then they're angry at them that they feel like they're just order takers. I feel that's the majority of the industry is, well, my advisor doesn't sell. I get an excuse from the technician, well, I don't fill out the multipoint because the advisor is not going to sell it anyway because they're weak, right? And when you have these advisors that are just order takers in a class, those are the ones that are just like, no, I do a great job. No, you wouldn't be here if you did. And you want to take something out of anything you're learning and make it work for you, right? So most dealerships train on process. Would you agree with that, Eric?
Yes.
Here's a new widget. Here's your login and password. You've got 50 different screens open, right? But not on psychology, communication, influence. They don't train on that stuff. They don't have that.
Corey, actually, let me take back that yes. And I'm including myself because guilty. I'm guilty. When I was managing stores, we don't train. We show them. We show them one time and then we expect them to be trained. Then I go and I go to my little manager checkbox and I go, check, I trained the staff on how to do walkarounds. No, I showed them how to do walkarounds. Training means consistent practice. So if you're a manager, if you're a leader who's listening to this right now, are you having consistent practice behind any process you're looking to install in your store so that it becomes a muscle memory? Or did we just show them one time? And after we showed them, we expect people just to do it, because I'll tell you what, a lot of us don't learn after being shown the first time. We're shaking our heads, yes, because we're at the moment we want to do it. But once we get onto the floor and we actually go on stage to perform, we forget our lines and we forget the steps. It's very natural.
Yeah. Now, the biggest mistakes most dealerships are making, right? No written process. No process. You can be upset all you want, but no process means you can't expect the advisors to know what they're going to do. If I'm not shown how to do something, I'm going to make mistakes. Period.
Yes.
So on this process, No consistent walk around. No meet and greet standards. No minimum requirement to maintain your job. There needs to be a standard, and it can't be a pay plan. Well, that's their pay plan. That's their minimum requirement. No, it's not. That's a pay plan. Totally two different things.
Two different things, yes.
Advisors run their own style. That means if you have five advisors and each one of them talk to a customer differently, and that customer goes to someone else and they get a totally different story, the customer's confused. And guess what? If the customer's confused, what's going to happen, Eric?
They're not going to come back.
Not going to come back.
That's it. So that's I'm out.
We need to tie this into accountability. KPI is on whiteboards, a visible scoreboard, something. Mistake number two, I feel no coaching culture. Managers fire instead of coaching. No 1 week one-on-ones, KPI reviews, no role play, no skill practice. Eric, when was the last time most advisors practice overcoming objections in your mind?
Oh, I think it's right in front of the customer. And then the problem when they're practicing that overcoming objection in front of the customer, it's typical human behavior. We look at it as because service advisors as a whole, for the most part, I'm speaking on for service advisors, if you're listening out there, as a whole, as a majority, we're all great people. We're helpers. We're genuinely trying to help. May not be the correct way sometimes, but because we have that intention, and whenever we're reviewing the scenario and we're overcoming objection, we're biased to it, right? Because it's us. So we're teaching ourselves with customers, Corey. That's what it comes down to.
If you're practicing on your customers, you're practicing on your paycheck.
And let me tell you this side of it. Here's one thing now from a management and leadership, that's a perspective, but let me tell you from a service advisor perspective, service advisors, we tailor, we customize the experience according to what's in front of us. We judge what's in front of us and we address it as best as we can to make that scenario fit. The downside to that is in the customer market, in the customer industry, in today's world, people love consistency. People love to know what to expect. When I'm ordering something, I like to know when I'm going to receive it. I like to see it in its delivery process. When I'm ordering coffee, it's the same taste. It's the same cup. It's the same sleeve. Everything is the same. Service advisors have not received enough trophies, enough results through consistent process. So what do I mean by that? Service advisors sometimes do not want to do, let's just use two basic ones, Corey. I'm just going to work with two basic ones. Walk around a menu presentation. Every single time, 100% of the time, right?
Right.
Well, it doesn't work. Well, the customer's going to get upset. Well, the customer's this. Well, the customer's that. Because we're adjusting ourselves because that's what we've learned to do, right? Because that CSI now starts to churn at a higher level. But we don't have enough wins behind consistently doing a walk around, consistently doing a menu presentation, not because we're trying to sell to the customer, not because we're trying to get the customer to buy, but just simply because that's what we do in our service drive. Every time a customer comes in, we educate them on how to maintain their vehicle and let the customer make the decision if it's right for them or not.
Well said, Eric. Yeah, that's what we see mostly. And mistake number three is training is an event, not a system. I'm not the service advisor whisperer. You're not the service advisor whisperer, right? It's an event, but when we leave, it's your job at the dealership to make them do it. They're not just going to magically, I'm not going to hypnotize them. They're not going to magically walk out of the room and their ELR is going to go through the roof. And they're going to treat customers the way they're supposed to be treating. They're going to do a walk around 100% of the time. They're going to present the menu. One class per year doesn't do it. No reinforcement, no follow-up, no measurement of ELR impact, nothing.
And what are those conversations like when numbers are there? Is it why is your effective labor rate low? Is it why is your hours per hour low? Why are your sales, your gross profit percentage, whatever the case might be? Is it a conversation of bringing awareness to the advisor? Is it a positive? or negative reinforcement is it already having the data in front of you and understanding, here's the important thing. This is one thing that I stress out in our leadership training sessions. And let's just use basketball. Let's just use basketball for this.
I like that. It's All-Star weekend, so, you know.
Would we expect a 5'8" point guard to have a high level amount of rebounds? No. That's
not his job.
No. So one of the things that I do is I like to study the skill sets of each advisor. What are their strong points and what are their weak points? And I have to understand that every single human being is going to have weak points. But what are the strong points of this individual in our service drive? How does this individual impact our service drive? And then what I like to do is not so much push the high limits of somebody, the highest skill set. I try to see how much of the person's lower skill set we can improve and understand what those limits might be. We may only be able to get a 10% increase out of the bottom performing skill set, and that may be maximum for that person. But can we help this person help our team so that our customer's experience overall creates a high level of retention?
Mm, amen. I love that. So what I really love most about working for EasyCare is the philosophy that we have in ongoing coaching, those virtual touch points, the KPI tracking, and that behavioral reinforcement. So if we really dive deep into this 2026 demand from service advisors, AI technology and adaption, AI appointment taking scheduling, AI multi-point videos, right? Using some of that stuff. So Eric, I ask you this question. AI won't replace advisors, right? We agree with that.
Correct.
But advisors who don't utilize and use AI will be replaced. True or false?
There is a lot of AI tools that companies are creating right now. I'm going to just start with one of the most basic ones. It's Video MPI. If people are just installing Video MPI into their service departments and technicians are just getting on board with that, it's going to change very quickly over the next couple of years. There's already tools being set out there that's going to change the game for service advisors. What does a technician Video MPI have anything to do with the service advisor? It has everything to do with it, because the communication that you're going to have between your customer and that Video MPI has to match now. You have to lift your skill set. You have to lift your game now as a service advisor, because it's not so much that AI is challenging how you communicate with the customer. It's how you utilize AI to be able to communicate with your customer. Now, this summer, I took courses and courses of AI. Everything from getting certificates to YouTube University, right? And one of the things that's scary for a lot of people out there is AI. And I've been asked this in class, is AI going to replace us as service advisors? I said, no. Advisors are going to replace advisors that know how to utilize AI. Completely different.
Yep. Amen. I love that.
So as an advisor, you know that you have to look at AI and say, how can this help me improve? There's going to be AI when it comes to updates. There's going to be AI some of it's already out there. It's very preliminary, but it's already out. There's going to be AI with logbooks. There's going to be AI with booking tickets. There's so much coming out in the next few years that it's going to be a different ballgame in the next 4 to 5 years.
I love that, Eric. That's great. So we're right up against the time, Eric, and I love having this type of topic, especially with you, because you and I have these conversations all the time. We're having them with dealer principals and GMs and service managers and fixed directors.
You know where we should put a microphone? We should put a microphone whenever we go train. We should put a microphone in the car when we're driving to the store and a camera so people can see that all we're talking about is service advisor and fixed ops life.
So exactly, we should. If you're an advisor listening to this, or an owner or GM or someone in leadership, here's some practical things dealerships can do this month. And I'll give you some real value for it, right? implement a daily walk around standard. Meet every customer at the vehicle. I can't stress that enough. You've got to meet the customer where they are, and they're more comfortable at their vehicle. The advisor is more comfortable at their desk. That's why they sit there and wait for the customer to come to them. Set expectations of timeline. Confirm contact preferences. Weekly KPI one-on-ones. Review ELR, customer pay hours per repair order, approval rate, decline services. If you're not putting decline services on the repair order and having the customer initial it, you're missing out on the boat. Mandatory role play 2 times per month. I'm not asking for every day. I'm not asking for once a week. 2 times per month. Make it objection handling, warranty versus customer pay explanations, price resistance, and preventative maintenance selling. Step 4, I take from this, is install a visible scoreboard so they know where they are. I can't tell you how many times I go into a dealership and say, hey, what was your ELR last month? How many ROs did you write up? I don't know. Healthy competition drives performance. So Eric, as we wind this episode down, I want to ask you this question. What separates a $70,000 advisor from a $140,000 advisor?
That's an amazing question. Here's what separates them. Number one, if you want to build a bigger machine and the advisor is the bigger machine, you have to know how it works. As a service advisor, if you're trying to build that $140,000 advisor, I have to know how the functions of fixed operations work. Then I can make them work for me. All those metrics, you need to know them. Know walking in the door. How many flat rate hours have I closed? Number two, what's my value of every hour, meaning effective labor rate? What am I producing every time that I step in front of a customer? And this is the third one, is the biggest one of all. What is the biggest consistent process, not only that I have, that this was the difference between me making 90 to over 100,000. The difference was that when I created a consistent process, it was a process for the store, not for me, Corey. Because every time that I made a consistent process for the store, it affected the manager, it affected the technician, it affected the parts department, it affected the act of delivery. So when I figured out that consistent process that was helpful for the entire store, that was the biggest difference that I created. So to me, those are the couple differences that service advisor making 70 to a service advisor making 140,000 with the same pay plan in the same store can make.
I love that, Eric. That's a great answer. Mine would be ownership and having that mentality, right? Energy, follow-up discipline. We talk about it all the time. We're really good at some of this, you know, but what do we really suck at? We don't follow up with the customer. Hey, Eric, I've had your vehicle for 3 weeks. Just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. Your part's still on galactic back order. The advisor's not doing that. Time management. Confidence is everything. If you believe in your story and the dealership and the products that you're selling, that confidence is going to attract that customer to say, okay, I need it. Once we have the value and the need, price becomes a non-issue. So I'll end with this. The service advisor is no longer just a service writer. They are the revenue engine, the relationship builder, and the retention strategy. Period. Eric, anything you want to add before we wind it down?
For the owners, for the general managers that are looking at their 2026 through 2030 customer, create a plan of where you're looking to be and make sure that you execute with education and training for the people who are in contact with that success.
I love that. That's great. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team who will help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to help unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eric, that is all the time we have for today. I think we should do a part two of this discussion.
We need
next
it.
Next time.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host Eric Howdige. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.